When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, just when you thought it was safe to emerge victorious on a midweek Nebraska baseball, this one's probably the least explainable of all. You're playing a team with a losing record, South Dakota State, not really going anywhere, and you're leading 6-2 in the eighth inning. Yeah, there were some blown scoring opportunities early. But you're leading by 4 runs at home with 6 outs to go. And you give up 8 unanswered runs. And wouldn't you know who won the pony, but it was a kid from Nebraska, Thatcher Kozol, who hit not one but 2 home runs in said 2-inning rally. And Nebraska blows the game and loses 10-6.
Yeah, Sam McCune wrote, "The Jackrabbits," and I thought this was some excellent color to provide, "swept last weekend by Mike Anderson's 12-32-1 Northern Colorado squad."
Mm-hmm.
"Pounded out 14 hits, scored 8 runs across the final 2 innings. The Huskers in control before then left 14 on base." 14 on base.
Yeah, 14 on base. They were 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position against South Dakota State.
And it's interesting, too, isn't it, that, you know, as of now, we're 3 days removed from our Monday show, but last night, 2 days removed from the Monday show, and all the conversation that we had with Jack, we did the same thing with Brunts on Tuesday, about the disconnect between the national folks. You had Kendall Rogers on the show last week, and us locally, you know, and why is there such a divide? Why is there such a divide? And I don't know, I felt, it, maybe poetic is the wrong term, but it felt that way for me, like, wow, isn't this, of all the weeks to happen, this is the week in which they drop that game. Even though, again, they're probably fine. I don't think they're going to host. I don't think that's going to
happen. No, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed, and it should have.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, last night's results notwithstanding, I've not been convinced, because I have to think that the committee is going to look at non-conference record. They have to.
Yeah, Nebraska now in the non-conference.
And what they have been, especially since April in the non-conference, has been putrid.
4-7 in the midweek non-conference game since the start of March.
Since the start of March. And most of those wins happened in March.
Yeah, so 4-7 in those kind of games since March.
The just looking here. Yeah, here it is. The non-conference record overall is 18-11, which isn't bad. Of course, that's bolstered by the early season when you played games on the weekends in non-conference. And the non-conference strength of schedule is still very good. But when you look at, I mean, you have to win some of these games. It's not so much, I mean, yeah, you can have a strong record or strong schedule. But if you can't hold your own in winning some of these games, then what are we doing here? And the thing is, and yeah, I'm going to go there, but you play in the Big Ten. You're not a power conference. So you don't get a lot of benefit of the doubt. It'd be one thing if an SEC team who had a good SEC record but maybe a poor non-conference record gets a little more benefit of the doubt. But you're playing in a conference. You're playing in a conference where there's about 9 or 10 other regional caliber teams.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten, you're talking maybe 2 or 3. So it's a different animal altogether. So I wasn't totally convinced that this hosting thing was there. I know what Kendall said last week, but I had to think that the committee was going to look into a little bit deeper into, you know, the record, especially these last couple of months. And then, of course, last night happens, and you're like, at some point, you just got to look at this and say, This is what they are. We can sit here all we want and hem and haw and wring our hands about, man, I just don't understand this. They play so well on the weekends. But at some point, you are this who you are.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, you know, when we went through the exercise on Monday and then a little bit on Tuesday, and where does this disconnect come from? I know that some of it for me was, like, Creighton's a good team, right? So at some point, you would figure that they would be able to get a win versus Creighton in the midweek. This now goes past that because this is a loss to a not good team, and this is a game that you're leading late.
This is the lowest ranked loss they have this year.
See, like that. So that's when it goes past, why are they struggling in the midweek versus a good team like Creighton? And now it's, why are they 4-7 in all of these games since the start of March? What is happening? And I know that we're going to get to the quote in a moment, but like, I mean, that quote doesn't leave me feeling warm and fuzzy about things. And that's why, you know, when I start thinking of what do I expect them to do in the NCAA tournament next month, I don't really expect a whole lot. You know, you've had a graphic on the screen for a few minutes for those who are listening in on the radio, where one of the projections.
This is D1 baseball, so this is Kendall's projection, and they've dropped.
Yeah,
they've dropped, and they're a two seed, but they're a two seed according to Kendall Rogers and the boys over at D1 baseball in the Indiana State regional. Indiana State is the number 9 national seed. So what that tells you is Nebraska is now moving a lot closer to a middle of the pack 2 seed.
Yeah.
Last week they were a 2 seed paired up against the 16 overall seed, which is the last of the number 1 seeds. And if you think of your regionals like a serpentine draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pair your best number 1 seed against the weakest number 2. Thus the weakest perceived number 1 goes against the strongest number 2. That's what Nebraska was last week. They were the strongest number 2. Now, they're more in the middle of the pack of the 2 seeds.
Yeah.
At least according to Kendall Rogers.
So think about that. Think about how much has changed.
G1 baseball.
Because of one loss.
And I don't even know if that's necessarily based on just that one loss. I mean, they did come out with their projection today.
Sure.
But it certainly factors in. But the loss hurt. Because Nebraska, who has been a top 20 RPI team...
Basically the whole year,
is now 30th.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So they dropped basically 10 spots with one game.
Yeah, overnight.
The KPI, which is another... we talked to Farron about this last week. This is another metric that the committee might be looking at a little closer this year. Nebraska dropped to 26th, which is the lowest they've been in that probably since the beginning of the season. So, again, this is not to say that they're not making the regional. No, they should be fine there, provided they can, you know, finish things out decently. But, yeah, if there were any thoughts, Jack Mitchell, you can hang up the phone. You don't have to call any of the RV dealers because
you're
not going to be – unless you want to travel to – a place like Terre Haute.
Yeah, go to Indiana.
If you'd like to travel to Terre Haute, I know the way.
KLIN RV to Terre Haute.
There's a cemetery right beyond the left field wall you can park.
Oh, kind of like Nebraska's chances in the postseason.
Well, I didn't say anything about their chances in the postseason.
Dead and
I'm just
buried.
Saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But the quote that got some run last night, Joshua Overbeek, third baseman, said when asked about the midweek struggles.
Yeah.
He said, it's definitely a focus thing. We play on the weekends. We get 3 games against a team and then go on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and play teams that are closer to you and really treat us and the games like against us like a World Series. It definitely creeps into your brain a little bit. So basically going to where the message board posters are going, the same message board posters that I've been ripping for this last several weeks.
So I guess it's true. I guess the message board posters were right. I didn't like that quote for 2 reasons. I don't like the quote
because it shows weakness.
Yeah.
But
I don't like either part of the quote.
But I also think it's grasping at straws.
You think so?
I think it's grasping at straws. Because if it is true, I mean, that's a terrible look.
Well, don't you think? So I read this almost as 2 different things. The first part is it's definitely a focus thing. We play on weekends. We get three games against a team and go on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I know that then he then leads into his next opinion. But I almost wonder, can those be two separate things? It's a focus thing. So they're not focused as well on these teams. But then the other issue, if that part is true, it's compounded by the fact that, as he says, these programs are closer to you, and then they treat it like it's a World Series. Or is that just one thing all in the same? Or like you said, is it just grasping at straws? Whatever it is, it's a horrible look, because you're right. That is what... Every time they've lost to Creighton this year, every time they've lost one of these games, when they've lost to the Mavs over the years, that's what Husker fans have said. No, these games are so important to those other schools. It means more to them. And like, look, I have no doubt that Omaha wants to beat Nebraska more than Nebraska wants to beat Omaha. I find that a laughable opinion about them versus Creighton, for the record. I think that that's laughable. But to get to this point, and that's where the first part actually bugs me even more. It's a focus thing. Dude, it's we talked about it this week. What they're playing for? What's at stake? Potentially hosting.
Right.
And now you want to talk about focus. That's the time, more than any time, when you should be focused and ready to go.
Precisely. And you should know, because this is the thing I think is more at the heart of the matter. The thing at the heart of the matter is it's about pitching depth. Nebraska does not have enough pitching depth.
Yeah.
Especially starting pitching depth. And that's a big reason why, hey, you can go out and kick butt on the weekends, especially on Fridays and Saturdays, because your two best starters, Sears and McConaughey, have been pitching very well this year. But beyond that, that's when everything else has to kick in. That's when you realize, hey, we can't just rely on, you know, one dude to go out and put up zeros for 7 or 8 innings. We got to go and do our thing. So maybe it could be a focus thing. But if that's the case, you're going to get badly exposed in a postseason tournament.
Sure.
You're going to get badly exposed, because guess what happens in a postseason tournament? You play multiple games over a course of 4 or 5 days.
In a short amount of time. Yeah, in a short amount of time.
You play about 4 or 5 or 6 games in 4 or 5 or 6 days. Well, guess what? You're only going to have Brett Sears for one of them.
Yeah.
You might be able to bring him back at the very, very end for a couple of innings. You're going to have McConaughey for a day, period. You got to have pitching depth. That's where you really, in college baseball, separate the great programs from everybody else. Because it's all about everybody stepping up when you don't have your ace on the hill or your number two on the hill. And... so, yeah, I think part of it is grasping at straws a little bit, just trying to figure out what they're up to. But, yeah, at this point, you know, go out, go win the Big Ten. But this problem of what is happening on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it will again rear its ugly head in a couple of weeks in the Big Ten tournament, if you get that far. And it's going to rear its ugly head again
in the NCAA tournament.
In an NCAA regional.
Yeah.
If you get to that point. So it has to be fixed.
Sure.
It has to be fixed, because it's, in my opinion, it's about pitching depth. And the pitching depth is not good enough.
Comment from Chance. Not that Chance on the YouTube page. He says, message board posters 1, John 0. But then he adds, I think the posters have come around to view that midweek World Series viewpoint as less a knock on the smaller schools and more frustrated that Bolt has instilled this mindset. So maybe it's...
And again, I find that extremely hard to believe, because Will Bolt knows all of these things. Will Bolt was in the SEC.
Yeah.
Will Bolt was at Nebraska when Nebraska was really, really good. I find it extremely hard to believe that this mindset, which is why I think the Overbeat comment is more grasping at straws right now, just trying to find something to explain it.
And that's certainly one of the things that we have heard over and over and over and over before.
Because, you know, again, you're potentially playing for a better seed in the NCAA tournament. You get this opportunity in NCAA baseball that you don't get in other sports, and that is you get home playoff games.
What if it is true? I mean, what if that actually is their mindset, and that is what is happening right now, and that is It's not grasping for straws, well, then, but it's something that they feel.
Well, then guess what?
Because that is an indictment on the head coach.
Then guess what? You ain't going to be playing for a Big Ten tournament championship, and you're not going to be winning any regionals.
Well, I mean, forget about that, though. Can we not go a little bit big picture and say that this is not a 2024 Nebraska baseball phenomenon? This is now something that's gone back a few years, right? Them having struggles in the midweek. I mean, certainly we know what their record is against Creighton.
Well,
we know what has happened against Omaha.
Yeah.
This isn't like a new problem, right? This isn't maybe not to this level. It's ramped up this year.
This is definitely different.
Well, same guy in charge.
This is definitely different. But speaking of new people in charge.
Mm. Mr. Yogurt?
Or older people in charge.
Mm.
People that were used to be in charge. Ted Carter, you remember him from such hits as the president of the University of Nebraska system.
Top Gun, didn't they call him that?
He was Top Gun.
Admiral. Yeah.
Well, last weekend was Ohio State's graduation commencement.
Oh, congratulations. Way to enter the workforce.
And they had a commencement speaker who is an Ohio State alum.
Oh, that's fun.
Described on social media as a social entrepreneur, musician, and inspirational speaker.
This sounds like someone that Nick Grimm would be a fan of. A musician?
He proceeded to give what many believe is one of the worst commencement speeches they've ever heard. This individual, Chris Pan, admitted to writing his speech while high on psychedelic drugs. He was high on ayahuasca or uyuasca or
Excedrin or the
Aaron Rodgers drug. Yeah, he was on the Aaron Rodgers drug. And folks in Columbus have been doing some digging into why did this person give the commencement speech? Because, A, not many people had heard of him. And
well, you didn't even mention the thing he's shilling for. Did you mention that
word yet?
Well,
not yet. I haven't mentioned that part yet. But as is usually the case with commencement speakers, there's a committee that comes up with a list of names of people they would like to give the commencement speech. And that's usually how the process starts. And then typically it's the university president who makes the final decision on who that speaker.
And he's their new POTUS.
And yes, Ted Carter.
Ted Carter. I guess he's not POTUS.
A.K.A. Top Gun, A.K.A. Slapshot, A.K.A. whatever.
He's like POTUS U, president of the Ohio State University.
Yes.
POTUS U. Yeah.
Makes the final call.
Nice. High on psychedelics, even more of a reason for Nick to be a fan of his, says Wade on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a Nick Grimm kind of guy.
The funny thing,
I bet that guy hates chatbots.
The funny thing is, when this decision was made, and this is according to The Rooster, I believe that's a student-run news source out of the Ohio State University.
Nice.
That Chris Pan did not initially reply to the university's email asking him if he wanted to be the commencement speaker.
He was high on ayahuasca?
No, because he thought it was a prank. He must have been sober at that time. He thought it was a prank.
Okay.
And yet, despite describing himself, I'm reading from the Rooster story, despite describing himself as an inspirational speaker, Pan had never given such a large-scale speech. So you're asking somebody who's never given a large-scale speech to do a large-scale speech in front of thousands of people at Ohio State commencement.
For the record, if Nebraska ever reached out to me, I'd say, I'm good, thank you.
Right.
I don't want to do a speech in front of that many people.
Ohio State then had to reach out to him by phone to confirm that, yes, this is not a prank. You're not being
bamboozled.
What was the show that old boy from that 70s show used to
pranked.
Do?
Pranked.
No, it wasn't pranked. What was the show he did on MTV?
Yeah, that wasn't called Pranked?
I didn't think it was called Pranked.
Do you know the show we're talking about, Joey?
What was his name?
Yeah, the guy from That 70s
yes.
Show and Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
Adam Kutcher?
No. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, what was his show called?
Yeah.
Punked?
Punked. That was it. Punked. They had to actually reach out to him and say, no, you're not being punked.
Mm.
We want you to give the speech. And as Pan admitted, he was, by his own admission, high on the psychedelic ayahuasca.
Nice.
And during the speech writing process, at the very least, at least Ohio State wanted drafts of his speech. They wanted to know what he was going to be talking about. So at least they did that due diligence. But a university source told the Rooster that, quote, he is the worst person I have ever worked with in regards to participation in the commencement process.
They said that about the speaker?
Yes, they said that about Chris Pan. His early draft contained extensive references to Israel and Palestine. The university asked him to remove. This did not go over well with Pan, who was described as very angry and threatened to drop out of the role entirely.
Dan says that he sang and did karaoke.
He did some dancing.
Wow.
But we later found out, well, in the speech, and one of the things that got people fired up was he basically did a shill for Bitcoin.
Oh, boo. And I believe that that was how the students responded. They booed him.
Yes.
They said, boo.
He was booed.
Nice.
During the
loser.
During this exchange with Bitcoin.
No one likes you, bro.
Well, now here's how you tie Ted Carter into this, because again, Ted Carter made the final call on picking this dude.
Well, that's how you tie it. He picked him.
But according to the Rooster, we shouldn't have been surprised the speech contained numerous shouts to fake internet money preferred by drug dealers and pedophiles. That's their commentary, not mine.
To which Josh Ottson yesterday said, I probably shouldn't repeat it. Anyway, just keep going.
Pan later revealed that Ohio State President Ted Slapshot Carter sits on the board of a carbon-free Bitcoin mining company. So it is now believed
that
the reason why he was picked was because they're Bitcoin bros.
Wow. Ted Carter is a Bitcoin bro? Can you believe that? What a weirdo. I never would have expected him to be that big of a weirdo. Tough look. This is a guy we were sad about. Remember he left John and we were sad?
Yeah.
That take is age poorly.
Just glad my sister did not sit through that.
Oh, is she an Ohio State grad?
Yep. 3 years ago, Ryan Day was the speaker. Ryan Day and his wife.
He probably didn't have any advice on how to beat Michigan that day, that's for sure.
No.
He was beating Michigan on the regular back then.
Oh, yeah.
On the regular, he beat him one time, John.
Yeah, that's on the regular.
All right.
Matt, a loyal reader of the Rooster who was in the crowd, said the speech was so hilariously bad that it was good. Quote, everyone's commencement speech is a bit cringe. Chris Pan's was memorably so. It rocked. So funny that my brother graduated to this. Another attendee, George, called the speech so bad.
Yeah.
Later referred it to having a mega church sermon and a cult-like vibe.
Don't like cults.
But this was, and apparently,
tough look for Ted.
I mean, the Rooster has done some deep diving.
Yeah.
This person was not recommended.
No.
He was not on the recommended list. It was Ted Carter that basically did the end run around the recommendation and said, this is the person we should have.
Because didn't that story have like a list of a bunch of people that they put on some of their initial lists? Like LeBron James was on there.
Yes.
I believe they even put like President B on there or President T.
The list included names like former Buckeye football coach Jim Tressel.
Oh, Jim.
Veep. Kamala Harris.
Yeah, there you go. Politics.
LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
And Columbus-born restaurateur Guy Fieri.
See, there you go.
You passed up Guy Fieri for a Bitcoin bro.
Yeah, tough look for Ted Carter.
That's a bad look in Flavor Town.
You know what? It's good that Nebraska doesn't have this guy anymore. This Bitcoin dork could have been at Nebraska. Whenever the graduation ceremony was or is to be.
You know what
Thank
else?
God.
You know what else is ironically funny about this?
A lot.
This is 2024.
It is the year 2024.
For the graduating class at Ohio State who went on the actual 4-year plan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This was their college commencement speaker. Their high school commencement speaker would have been a mask and a COVID shot because they didn't have commencement in 2020.
Yeah.
So these people.
Yeah.
The high school class of 2020 who got no commencement.
Yeah.
And had to take their final classes on a computer from their bedroom.
Yeah.
Now graduate from a prestigious Big Ten university.
Yeah. With this.
To Bitcoin bro and his co-pilot. Slapshot Ted Carter.
So if any of these people from Ohio State go on to do like horrifically awful things, in
you'll
this
know
world,
why.
Yeah, because they had a bad time.
You'll know why.
By the way, Amazing Deanna points out that I didn't realize it was Fieri until recently. I thought it was Fieri. Fieri is also a Bitcoin bro.
Yes, but he is the mayor of Flavortown, so he gets a pass.
Killer! Johnny Pig wants to know, any word if Lou Holtz was on the list? Dr. Lou? Was Dr. Lou on the list?
Dr. Lou also would have been hilariously bad, but at least he wouldn't have been shilling for Bitcoin.
But then Ryan Day would have come up and fought him. Get over here, old man. I'm going to punch you in your face.
Well, that would have been good.
Mm. Wow.
So, this was the Ohio State commencement from hell, because this was also the same commencement where, sadly, one of the parents of one of the graduates apparently jumped to their death.
Andy writes on YouTube, Ted Carter's call sign was Admiral Crypto. And Travis writes, are we surprised that a Big Ten university is having a scandal? Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Well, we can say, thank God that Slapshot's not the president around here.
Thank God. Seriously, this dork could have been speaking here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Nebraska would have been an embarrassment. It's nice to not be an embarrassment.
Not anymore, anyway.
Indeed, indeed.
All right. When we continue, we're going to talk with Robin Washett here at the bottom of the hour. Also, there's NIL basketball tournaments.
Okay.
And more on 1620 The Zone.